Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for the past several weeks, you've heard each week that we're studying the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you see the character of Jesus being described. One preacher said that we should think of the fruit of the Spirit as like 9 segments of an orange. We can imagine that, can't we? It's not 9 separate fruits, but the one fruit, which is Christ's likeness. So let's read together once again the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want us to notice something. The Holy Spirit does not create lopsided Christians. As you abide in Christ, you receive all segments of the fruit of the Spirit. You might say, well, I am loving and I have peace, but forget patience. That's out of the question. No, that's not what the fruit of the Spirit's about. You get all 9 segments. Or you might say, you know, I've got 4, but not 9. You know, 4 is not bad. No, God wants to give you all 9 through the Spirit. These are 9 virtues that the Holy Spirit wants to create within us. And so that's his ministry, to produce the character of Jesus within us. Now, it takes some time. We've talked about that. It takes spiritual maturity as we grow. Some of us are wired up one way to produce others quickly and not others quite as fast. But God wants to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all 9 segments, all 9 of these fruit in our lives. And we would be lopsided as Christians if that didn't happen. The fruit of the Spirit is not a self-help program. I want to emphasize that too. It's not something we can do ourselves, but it's cultivated in the heart of the Christian believer by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. In Galatians chapter 5, which the fruit of the Spirit are found in, right before that, Paul has a list of other things that are natural to us. But I have to tell you, it's not a pretty list. Let me read just some of the vices that Paul mentions, and he calls them the work of the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. Here are some of them: sexual immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, and envy. If you want to read the full list, you know, get out your Bible, look at chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. It's pretty obvious as we look at this list of the works of the flesh that these things will create havoc in our lives and also bring harm, bring harm to others. They may be natural to us, but they're not good for us, as well as not good for others. And at the end of this list, Paul gives a warning. He says this: if we do such things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. This means that God is serious about the gravity of sin. And because we are weak, God is kind, and God is merciful, and God is good. And he produces in us a better way to live, the fruit of the Spirit. Not only does God have a better way for us to live, but he promises that he's going to help us to live this better way. Well, today I'm going to combine 2 of the fruit, kindness and goodness, because they are quite similar. In the New Testament, they're oftentimes interchangeable. These 2 fruits are distinct, but like I said, similar. And here's how one scholar described these 2 and the distinction they have. He said, kindness is a disposition of the heart. Goodness is the expression of that heart. Or another way of putting it, kindness is a concern for the well-being of others. Goodness is kindness in action. And the author of Hebrews made it clear that kindness and goodness are to be a part of our everyday life. He said, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now, like all the fruit of the Spirit, it all starts with God. And God is kind and God is good. They are part of his character. As we've seen, as we've been going through this series, God is love, God is joyful, God is peace, God is patient, we heard yesterday, and God is kind and good. So these fruit represent the character or the nature of God that God wants to produce within us. In Titus chapter 3, we read these words, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." By his kindness, we're saved. And as we abide in Christ, he's producing this fruit within us. If we were to go back and take a look at that list I read earlier of the works of the flesh, we'd have to say it's a vile list. It's a trouble-producing list of attitudes and actions that sow rebellion against God. Yet God is still kind towards those who exhibit these attitudes and these actions. He calls them to repent, and as we saw last week, because he is patient and merciful. And by his patience and by his kindness, he calls us to come back to him. Kindness begins with God. God is a kind God, and so we want to keep connected to this kind God. In Acts chapter 14, we read these words, "Yet he," that is God, "has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." And what Luke, who wrote Acts, is saying here is that God reveals himself in the way he blesses us, and we see his kindness and how he provides for us, how he meets our needs with the multitudes of blessings that we receive. He is so faithful to meet our needs that oftentimes we just take it for granted that God is going to bless it. And sometimes we even forget that he's the source of our blessings and think that it's because of my hard work or because of my intelligence that I have created these blessings. But the truth is, every blessing we have is because God is kind towards us and God is good towards us. In James 1:17, James wrote, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And his greatest gift of kindness to us is his Son, Jesus Christ. Of all the blessings that God has given to us, the gift of his salvation through Christ is the greatest. We have salvation because of God's incredible kindness. Romans 2:4, Paul wrote, "Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" Well, the good news of the Christian faith is that God is so patient and so kind and so merciful that we can return from our sin. We can do a 180-degree turn and return to him. And he's standing there with welcoming arms to receive us. He is a kind and patient, good and merciful God. Now, let me tell you a story from my friend Don Lawrence. He's the one I said gave me some ideas for this series on the fruit of the Spirit. And it's a little illustration about how it's not our acts that get us into heaven, but it's God's grace. A man appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter asked him this question: "Have you ever done anything that deserves particular merit?" Well, the man thought for a moment. He said, "Yeah, there is one thing." He said, "I was on a trip to the Black Hills in South Dakota, and I came upon a gang of bikers. And they were harassing and teasing this young woman, and so I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest, the meanest, the ugliest, and the most tattooed biker. And I smacked him on the head, kicked his bike over, ripped out his nose ring, threw it on the ground, and I told him, 'Leave her alone, or you're going to have to answer to me.'" Well, St. Peter was kind of impressed, and he said, "When did this happen?" The man looked at his watch. He said, "Oh, about 2 minutes ago." Well, he was attempting to impress St. Peter, but we know our salvation is not dependent upon our good deeds that we've done. Our salvation is dependent upon the grace of God. And God is so kind and so good to us. He loves us. Even when we don't love him, he pursues us, even when we try to run from him. God is a kind and good God. And when his character is formed in us by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are going to act with kindness and goodness towards others. And it makes a huge difference. Acts of kindness and goodness can have a profound impact on the lives of other people. You know this. There are hurting people all around you. You don't have to go to a foreign land to find hurting people. You don't have to travel to the inner city, though you'll find a lot of hurting people there. They're in your neighborhood, they're at work, they're among your friends, they're in your family. There are so many hurts in this world, they're all around us. And you can have a profound impact on a person's life simply by being kind to them. And people are looking for kindness. And that's what God wants us to do, to show kindness. In Micah 6:8, he made it very clear. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? I heard a story of an elderly woman who went to a branch post office in her town. She always went to the same branch because those postal workers were friendly to her. They knew her name. Well, shortly before Christmas, she went to that branch office to buy stamps, and the lines were extremely long. And somebody in line asked her what she needed. She said she was there to buy stamps. And they said, well, don't you know, out in the lobby, there's a machine. You can just go out there and buy stamps. You skip the line. She said, no, I don't want to do that. She said, because the machine won't ask me about my arthritis. People are looking for kindness. And you can impact somebody's life in a positive way simply by being kind to them. Years ago, I was standing on the patio of the church I was serving. It was right after worship was over and had coffee and refreshments out on the patio. I was standing out there when I noticed one of the church elders talking to one of our elderly widows. And I overheard him ask her, Norma, tell me, what's your favorite part about our worship service? And I was really surprised to hear her answer. She said, it's when we share the peace with one another. Because it's the only time during the week somebody touches me. Now, here we are in the season of COVID, and to hug and to touch, we're just not able to do. And yet, people are hurting, and they need our acts of kindness. So we need to find ways that we can demonstrate kindness, because it's essential. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's even commanded. Listen to these words. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So I've got a couple questions I want to ask you right now. Just reflect for a moment your past week. What opportunities did you have this past week to show somebody kindness? And then here's the second question. How did you respond? You know, sometimes we're in a hurry. We see something, well, I'll do it later. And later never arrives. And so when we have opportunities, we are to show kindness. John Wesley, the father of the Methodist Church, told Christians these words 250 years ago. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You can be kind to someone. Doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can be kind to somebody. You can extend an act of kindness. We often use the term random acts of kindness. But we can all do random acts of kindness. We probably all have received random acts of kindness and know what a difference it made to us. It might mean writing someone a note to encourage them. Maybe it's driving somebody to the doctor. Maybe it's just opening the door for somebody with a huge smile on your face. It doesn't have to be difficult. But the incredible thing is random acts of kindness can make a big difference in somebody else's life. And they're really not hard to do. Barnabas in the New Testament was known as an encourager. His kindness and goodness was expressed through his encouragement to others, in particular to Paul. He was Paul's helper and encourager. And I hope that each of you have a Barnabas in your life. I hope there's somebody that speaks words of encouragement into your life at different times. And I also hope that you are a Barnabas to somebody else, showing them encouragement through acts of kindness and goodness. Kindness and goodness are your best witness. We've all heard talk is cheap. It is. Kindness and goodness are our best witness. We've also heard this statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Kindness speaks volumes. Kindness and goodness are love in action. That first fruit of the Spirit, love, kindness and action put love, or goodness put love into action. In Proverbs 14, we read, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." You represent God best when you are kind to others. Throughout the New Testament, we are reminded how our actions reflect our faith. The ultimate outcome for us is not how religious we are or how spiritual we might talk or how even we perceive ourselves, but our actions will always speak louder than our words. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Genuine faith is always accompanied by kindness and goodness, love put into action. I came across a story of a woman who had very little means, came from a poor section of town. I'm not sure what town this was, but she called a church. She made a cone or sent a note to a church called The Vineyard. And here's what she wrote. She said, "I just got back from McDonald's. It's Christmas Eve, and I literally counted change that I could find in the couch cushions so I could have enough money to buy lunch for my son. When I got to the window, the lady there told me that the man in front of me had already paid for my food and asked that she give me this card. It was a card from the Vineyard Church. The man in front didn't know that I was a single mom or that I'm not exactly the best, most sin-free person in the world. He just wanted me to know that God loved me. I needed this more than he could have possibly known. Regardless of what I get for Christmas this year, I will consider this reminder that God loved me to be the best gift. Since he drove off before I could thank him personally, I just want to thank the church he came from for everything you do. Merry Christmas." Kindness and goodness are our best witness. And I want to say to you, Desert Hope, your acts of kindness and goodness in the Tucson community are the best witness our church can offer to the people of this community. The Thanksgiving baskets, the Christmas baskets, and the gifts that you gave are just one way, probably the most recent way, but just one way this church expresses kindness. And oftentimes it's expressed to total strangers. You may or may not hear from those you gave to or even receive a word of thanks, but your kindness shows people that God cares for them, that there are people in this world who care for them, that they're not forgotten, that they're important to you, and they are important to God. A few months ago, Lynn and I were driving, Sunday morning, driving to church here at Desert Hope, and we stopped at a Dutch Brothers coffee shop drive-thru, and we got up to the window to pay, and the woman at the window said, "It's already been paid for. The man in front of you paid your bill." Now, I don't know if this man was a Christian. He drove off. We couldn't talk to him. But I have to tell you this, it was sure a good witness to the community and the citizens of Tucson, Arizona, that he would have done that for us. A Quaker by the name of Stephen Grillet once wrote these words, "I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." Today is the day, a great day, to show kindness. It is God's goodness put into action through love. A good friend of mine has been watching some of these sermons on live, And I talked to him last week. He said, what are you preaching this Sunday? I said, well, I'm going to talk about kindness and goodness. He said, goodness. He said, you know, my grandma used to always say, oh, for goodness sake. He said, what if she had twisted around and said, oh, for the sake of goodness? What a difference that could make. If we just thought that way, what can I do for the sake of goodness? Another friend of mine in my small group that I meet with regularly shared a story. He and his wife had bought a home in Flagstaff, a second home. And in that home, there was a lift to go from the first floor to the second floor. They didn't need it. They had no idea what they were going to do with it. And they were pondering it when they heard about a young man with a young family who lives in Flagstaff who had just been in a motorcycle accident and paralyzed. And he needed a lift because they had a two-story home. When they heard about that, they knew exactly what they were going to do with that lift. They contacted him and said, we'd like to give this to you. And he said, well, I have some friends. I'll send them over and they can take it out and reassemble it. And they did. And he was so gracious. But what also touched their heart was this man in his recovery had a nurse who attended to him quite often. And she was so moved by what this couple had done that she sent them a letter. And she said, you know, I've been so discouraged lately. The world seems so harsh. And you just restored faith in humanity for me with your kind gift of that lift. You know, there's so many creative ways that we can show kindness and goodness, the love of God to others. And we all have opportunities. And it's not really that difficult to do. Kindness and goodness are fruit of the Spirit. And they produce, the Holy Spirit wants to produce that very character of Jesus Christ within us. God is kind. God is good. And as we abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit, over time, it's not instant, over time, God is producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. He gives us kindness and goodness so that we can share that kindness and goodness with others and people will understand that they are important to us and that God loves them. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the kindness and the goodness you've shown to us. We call this your amazing grace. Continue to shape our hearts to be more like yours. And this week, make us aware of those opportunities we have to share your kindness and your goodness with others. In Jesus' name, amen.